الله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. So over the weeks, the discussion continues because the lesson regarding Salah is a very important lesson. And it is something that which was mentioned, the first thing that will be taken away from this Ummah is that feeling in Salah, that khushu. Everyone will be reading Salah. We're not speaking about those not reading, because they won't be sitting here. We're speaking about those who read. But that feeling of how people read in the past, a lot of effort has to be made to get that feeling again. In the last week, in the dars of hadith, or today, we discussed the issue of what is known as the battle of Raji', Ghazwatul Raji'. So in that battle, three Sahaba radiallahu anh, 10 passed away. But the passing away of three is mentioned. And each one of it is so unique. It showed like a glimpse of what people in the past lived for. For them it wasn't life. They lived for Allah. So when the time came to die also, that final of theirs was, when normally a person will say, I need to do one more thing. Here you will see the Sahabi radiallahu anhu saying that, two rakat salah. As though he had developed throughout life such a feeling with salah, that now even after I'm going to meet Allah after, but still if I have to miss anything in life, it will be the chance to say Allahu Akbar for Allah. He said, give me the chance for 2 more. Whatever you love, you will normally say, can I see that? The man who's almost going to die, he say, make a wasiyat, what you want? If a man who loved his wife, he'll say, I wish I can see my wife one more time. Sometimes a man say, I wish I could see my children. Sometimes it's a person who says, you got fish? He's there. People love food also. So even before dying, what about that last chocolate? Whatever you love. But there was a group of people who at that time said, chance for 2 more. 2 more. I just need to make a wudu. So the scholars write there that when the Sahabi read that 2 rakats, then he knew after this he's going to die. They say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, when you perform salah, then read the salah like a person that's bidding farewell. But when I read that, I was thinking that if it's me and you, and we got a person who got a knife behind him, even that salah that we read, how will we read it? Will we really take enjoyment in that salah? Or will we be more worried of, I'm going to die now? So read the salah like one who's doing favor. They really read it. So in the battle of Raji', what had happened, the details of it very quickly. It was after the battle of Uhud. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already lost 70. So any further loss now is very hard. Allah tabarakallah had made it. But sometimes after one loss, you have to get knocked with another loss. That's how life is. You say the imtihans are just never ending. And that's when it ends. So a group came and they asked that we need someone to teach us Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose 10. He also wanted to send the Seri 10 out, that as they will go, they will see now what is the Quraysh of Makkah up to now. So it worked out the right time. This group wanted them in that direction. So he had a reason to send them. You will go there, you will teach. And you are closer that side, you can also. But this group that came had not really come for looking for teachers. At that time, a lot of people were ready to pay a lot to be able to capture certain Sahaba, because they had killed someone of that person's family in the battles that were before this. So this group came and they specifically mentioned, we would like him. There were certain ones who had ransoms on their head. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed a group of 10. So in the 10, the 3 that really showed They are going to speak about one's name was Asim. Asim bin Thabit. Correct? Then there was Zayd bin Datina. And then there was Khubayb radiallahu anhu. So each one, the way he died was the unique thing. The way he died, passed away. Normally it's how you live. It's how they died. History perhaps won't remember the Sahabi how he lived, but he must have been a great Sahabi. But they'll remember him how he died. So when they reached a certain place, the enemy now surrounded them. They were betrayed. So it's only a group of 10 and suddenly you're surrounded by 200. And in that 200, you have 100 with arrows, master archers. How do you fight? And you're not going for a fight. You're going to teach Quran. So you're not really ready to fight 200. So they climb up a hill, and from the hill it's easier. And if the enemy has to come, it's easier to attack. Even in death, they were ready like that. So from the bottom, the enemy say that, we are not going to kill you. But if you come down nicely, then we will also treat you nicely and we promise you no harm. So Asim radiallahu anh, he says that me, I will never ever trust a disbeliever. Never. Now he already knew that he had killed a woman's sons. Sulafa, her name was. So she had made a promise that she will drink liquor in his skull. And he must have already got the message. So before going down, he makes a dua that, oh Allah, as I have always protected your deen, I only ask you now to protect my flesh, my body. He even said, oh Allah, I never ever like to touch a mushrik. So now I would not like a mushrik to touch me also. How they spoke, this was like they laughed. And then he said, oh Allah, will you inform our Nabi? Because we're not going to get the message to him. Will you inform our Nabi? Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, ayat were revealed. He said, initially we read it as part of Quran. Then that recitation was made, mansukh left it. Ayat were revealed, he read it, we used to read it. That inform our companions, ma laqina, what we have received from our Allah. But this, before he's dying, he already saying that, oh Allah, can you send the message? This is how the end was. Tell our companions, ma laqina. We are so happy with Allah and He is happy with us. So we used to read this. We used to read this. Amazing the level of, will you tell our sahab? Our Nabi, that we are now going. So seven of them come down. They lost their life. They know they're going to pass away. But for them to die was like, it's just how you die. How you die. After his demise, now a group came to cut off his neck. Because they needed that head. If you can get the head to this woman, and she will drink her liquor in it, then she was ready to pay so much. Allah Tawarakala now fulfills what he asked. So a swarm of wasps have settled over his body. And this group comes and you see this wasp. How do you fight wasps? So then one of them says, wait for the night. At night they normally go. And Allah Tawarakala at night sends the rain. And the rain washes away his body and his body is never to be found. But how he passed? I protected your deen, you protect my flesh. The second Sahabi radiallahu an, Zayd bin Dathina, Khubayb radiallahu an, and one other comes down. Seven are martyred already. So three of them decide, okay, we will go down, you promised you will not harm us. But as soon as they come, the people take out the strings of their bows. So from the three, one says, you're already lying. Why you have to tie me? I'll walk nicely. So as they try to tie him, he refuses. He refuses. Pulling him, they decide, let's kill him. So now there's two left. So history will write, one is Zayd bin Dathina, radiallahu anhu. Zayd bin Dathina, he is sold to a family of someone who he killed. They don't want to wait So even though it's the time where you normally don't kill, it was known as the sacred month, they have someone take him out of the haram. This is called Tan'im, what we call today Masjid Aisha. And a group of the Quraysh go there. It's amazing, they died in such a manner that the killers would look at their death and it would be the cause of their Islam later. So Abu Sufyan was there. Later on he would say, I had never seen a nation who loved their master more than the companions of Muhammad. He said this before Islam. Because before Zayd bin Dasina died, he mocked at him. And he says, now, meaning Muhammad is nice with his family, and you have to suffer because of it. He says, wouldn't you want now, today, you be back home? He must be at ease. And that's when he said, that if I had to know Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be pricked with a thorn, even then I would not be ready to live happily with my family. That's when Abu Sufyan said, I had never seen a nation like this, who loved their master more than they loved their master. Then the leader or the person who had bought him to have him killed, he makes an indication to his slave, stab him. So the slave, when he stabs him, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu says, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. By Allah, I have found my success. So imagine the man who stabs you, how he is hearing that. Where everyone else in the world will say, ah, and that. And here you stab a man, and he says, I got it. Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. And this will trouble this person, trouble him until he accepts. And how did that man say, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba? And in the Sahih, Zayd bin Dathina. Khubayb radiallahu anhu is the one I wanted to mention. So because it was the days of the months of what they call the sacred months, Ashhurul Hurum, they felt, let the months pass and then we will kill him. So the family that he stayed by, who were now going to kill him, imagine you're going to kill this person, but he's there as a captive, so every day you have to send food to keep him alive. It's like Qurbani. Feed it, and you can kill him. So in the house, the woman that was in the house, her name was Zainab. She used to look at him. And then later on she would say, I had never seen a captive like this. I had never seen a better captive than he. One reason why she said it is just before, when the news came now that the months are now finishing, when normally in the world you would start getting more scared. But people who love for Allah, death doesn't make them more scared. So as the time came closer, he prepared. So he asked, can you give me a razor? The razor is, I want to remove unwanted hair. Why? I will not meet my Allah dirty. They were in a different world. So as he had that razor and he was doing whatever he had to do, and he was in chain, so it was very hard for him to do whatever he had to do. At that time, one child came from the house. That was Zainab's child. And the child came, and the child came right next to him, so he let the child sit on his lap. And now the razor is in his hand, the child is in his lap, all he had to do is put it here and say that, let me go free, otherwise I'll kill the child. So the mother now comes, Zainab, and she looks and she gets shocked. She says, she starts trembling. She narrates because she accepted Islam. She said, I had never seen a captive like this. She starts trembling, so he looks at her and he says, what makes you worried? Like, do you think I'll ever hurt your child? So then she says, oh woman, remember, we do not deceive. I wonder which man will do that. This is the chance to run away from death. You got the child, you got the razor, you can immediately say, untie me, there's nobody else around. You say, you think I'm going to harm your child? We don't do things like this. She said, I've never seen a man like this. She says, while he was in his chains, I used to see him eating grapes. But at that time in Makkah Mukarramah, no fruits were coming. And he was in chain also. She says, later on I realized this was a sustenance that Allah would give. They would die, their dying was a cause of iman. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, under the verse, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of nations taken out for mankind. Sahaba radiallahu anhu explained it in this manner. that in amongst the best of the best are those people, the meaning of the narration is that even their death will be the cause of their killer's hidayah. Even their death will be the cause of the killer's hidayah. And then some would explain that those who their captives are brought in chains, meaning who they capture, and shortly after that they open the chain and they invite that person to war. Meaning you made war, you beat the person, you chained the person, you brought him home. And when he comes home, he says to you, "I like your religion." And you say, "What?" He says, "Can I read your kalima?" And immediately you answer. After you read his kalima, he reads his kalima, then what? The very person who caught him, and it might have been that he killed this man's father, and that's why you caught him. That very man now clothes him, because he read the kalima. And then that very man teaches him. And then that man gets him married. And then he tells that man, "You know, I got no family, because my family is all non-Muslim. Will you become my family?" And the very person who caught him to kill him because he killed his father now says, "Me and you will become brothers." All of that happened in Islam. They bring them in chains, and thereafter they bring them into Islam. With chains, they enter them into Jannah. But this one where you got killed and you're dying is a cause of someone's hidayah. So now they take Khubayb radiallahu anhu, ready to die. So that's when someone asks, "You want anything now?" This is the chance to read Surah Al-Fatiha. That's what I wanted to mention. What a feeling they had. So he reads the Surah Al-Fatiha. And after he makes salam, he says, "And if it was not that you people would have thought I'm scared to die, I would have lengthened the Surah." Because when we read, we don't stop reading. So I would have read a nice song. They had no fear of dying. So the tariqah now to get this, there must be feeling in our salah. There must be some feeling. So the tariqah to get it is that in every posture, or one posture, there must be some feeling when we say it. So we started off with thana, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. But sometimes in our life we'll have to say it with feeling. There has to be something. So last week we spoke about, now you're going to ruku. If you carry on reading Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, that's a unique zikr. And man sometimes when he eats the same thing again and again and again, then he asks for something else. Man's nature in life. Bani Israel in the valley of going nowhere, Allah Tabarakala used to send to them a sweetmeat and a bird. And wherever they needed to eat, that sweetmeat was there, the bird was there, until they started saying, "We want vegetables. Vegetables." So our ustad in madrasa would say, because in the Darul Uloom, normally to give meat and chicken is expensive. There they like to give dal. So our ustad, he said, when he came to Darul Uloom, wherever in India, "Only dal, only dal, only dal." So there's no chicken, there's no mutton. So he said, our ustad used to say, "Ye Bani Israel ke qawm ki tarah." That this principle here is like Bani Israel. And we like meat and you want vegetables. Bani Israel wanted vegetables. He said, "First of all, they're like Bani Israel. You want our chicken, our mutton." But if you give chicken and mutton all the time, the person will say, "I want vegetables." You give vegetables, you say, "I want chicken and mutton." You give both, you say, "Can't we give rosa?" Man's nature is. You get tired. So even in Zikrullah, if from the time we grew up, you were reading Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, sometimes you lose the greatness of that dhikr. And there's a need to change it. Just to change it. And then come back again. And you get a feeling. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to read different dhikrs. And sometimes you must take out time to get feeling. You'll have to learn it. When a boy is getting married, he'll even search on AI. He'll search for poems. He'll memorize poems. Because he says, I don't know on the first night what poetry to sing. Normally we'll tell him on the first night you won't have to sing. It's less talk. But he really thinks I'll stand up like how the boy stands up here and he gives a speech. I say, it is so nice for you to enter in my house. I thank you and your father. I don't know what he thinks will happen. That's why boys come. When they're getting married, they phone me and say, can I give advice? I say, about what? They say, first night. I say, what about the rest of life? Yes, the rest of life you need advice. First night there's nothing that happens. But everyone thinks marriage is first night. Is there a book about just when you get married? You say, is there a book about after that? What about after that? That's the main part. First night, she's sweet, you sweet. Marriage is after the sweetness goes away. Then what? Example, someone telling you, give me advice when we're friends. You say, you need advice when you're not friends. Then how do you behave? Everyone wants, when I'm friends, how to behave? Say, must I give her the ring? Even if you don't give her the ring the first night, she'll give you a ring. Because in first night, everyone loves each other. If you give her, she'll thank you. You don't give her, she'll still thank you. But after 1 year, if you give her, she'll really thank you. Because then she's not expecting it anymore. So what was that about love? A man will memorize poetry also. The words, he says, the words make the spice. So in ruku also, sometimes there must be feeling. Allahumma laka raka'atu. Wabika amantu. Walaka aslamtu. Khasha'a sam'i. Wabasari. Wamukhi. Wa'azmi. Wa'asabi. Everything has submitted for you. Anyone. Subhanaka Allahumma. Wabihamdik. Allahumma gfirli. You might just read it. Read something different. Read something different. Read something. You know I'm in ruku. But now I'm going to explain to you now when we drop for that sajda, and that's like the final of salah. Just before dropping for the sajda, there's something called qawma. So the main part of qawma is you have to become still. When you come up, you can't swing. But when you come up, you must think of that, what is said at that moment. That sami'allahu liman hamida. That Allah has heard the one who has praised Him. So normally when you hear that, the natural reaction of a lover is that he falls to his knees in love. Sami Allahu liman hamida. You normally just fall. So ruku, they say, it's the beginning of what is called abdiyat. Showing my slavery, and sajda is the end. In between was the fourth. So qawma was, I went into ruku, abdiyat. Total slavery from Allah. Because there were people in the past who had no sajda, but they had ruku. I went in ruku. And at that time I said, khasha'a, laka. Oh Allah, for you, my ears, my eyes, my brain, my bones, my veins, my nerves, everything went for you. And now the person is told, stand. So when you stand, it means stand to see whether accepted or not. And then it is, Sami Allahu liman hamida. That Allah has indeed heard the one who has praised Him. The praise already took place. It was in ruku. But still there, the person makes another praise. Because when Allah heard my one praise, why again mustn't I praise? So He praises, whatever He praises at that moment. Rabbana walaka alhamd. Which will mean, oh Allah, how can I not praise you? How can I not praise you? But the main part of it was, on hearing Sami Allahu liman hamida, the body is just itching to now collapse in front of Allah. And this is what is called sajda. Down and down. And to get sometimes in life this feeling. But you can't do it when you're around people. You can't do it when you're worried about supper. You can't do it when you're saying, quickly, quickly, I'll have to go in the car. There has to be one salah in a day, one salah in a week, maybe one salah in a lifetime. When you've got no worries, there's no time constraints. And you take each portion of your salah as the meeting of a lover and the beloved. And then when you go into that sajdah,
That's when you start crying. The body wants it. Whoever goes into sajda land, you'll have to have a sajda sometimes.
That's what would keep Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for hours. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I woke up. I said, where is Allah's Nabi? Everything is quiet. There's no movement. And then she says, I see him in sajda. Looking. Then she says, I think he has passed. Because he's not moving. Then she says, I touch his leg and I see movement. I say, no, he's alive. There was those sajda.
So in sajda, as he would fall, sajda's tasbih will be the same. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, Allahumma fsirli, same.
Or the one we make, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, 3 times, but with feeling. Or, very similar to the other one,
Sajada wajhi lilladhi khalaqa.
My face has today fallen in sajda for the one who created it.
Fashakka sam'ahu wa basara.
The one who formed my ears, my eyes.
وَصَوَّرَ فَشَقَّ سَمْعَهُ وَبَصَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ.
Amazing how you are my creator. Any dhikr. The ulama must learn more. The normal person must learn. But you have to get something. And thereafter dua. Any dua. A dua from the sunnah. It has to be from the sunnah. But dua. And to make that dua, and to make that dua, and to make that dua. When sajda will become like this. So Shah Waliullah Rahimullah says, when a person is dropping into sajda, he says, I want him to remember 3 things. And then he will understand what the sajda is. He says, the first thing that he must remember is, that sajda is the completion of abdiyat. Sajda is the completion of slavery. That is why this posture of sajda is not allowed for anyone else. I am now the slave. And my whole life's mission is to be that slave of Allah. And in sajda I got it. So don't rush to come out of it. Don't rush. And there has to be that in our life sometime. But tonight no one is around. Now I'm reading a sajda. That's why it all happens in the night. When everyone is fast asleep, you take a chance. And when you drop, it might only be 2 rakats you read. But that 2 rakats might be the beginning of your life. There were people in the past who would say, I wait for that hour when I can meet my Rabb again. Which means in normal salah, I do meet my Rabb, but I don't get that taste. Because there's people around me. If I go in sajda, I have to come up again. I stay too long in sajda, someone will think I passed away. Someone will shake me and say, Sheikh, I can't. But at night, it's that man who, when someone wanted to kill him, said, let me read 2 rakats. Let me read 2 rakats. I used to enjoy it so much. My last sajda from Allah. Give me the chance. So Shah Waliullah Rahimullah says, 3 things you must remember when making sajda. One is, it's the completion of your abdiyat worship. That's the sum total of my life. So when I hit that sajda, there should be some feeling in it. I should stay there a little bit longer. A little bit longer. Some dua, Allahumma khfirli, after you read Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi, that one we know. And they say, Allah forgive me. Allahumma khfirli, Allahumma khfirli, Allahumma khfirli. Just say Allahumma khfirli 10 times. Just let the blood start rushing to the head. Enjoy staying in there. I'm your servant, I'm your servant. Even if you just start crying there, the best place, the closest a servant can ever be to his Rabb. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَهُوَ سَعْجِدُ. Number 2, he says, remember the narration where Sahabi radiallahu anh made khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then, to thank him for his khidmah, said, ask, sal. Meaning, ask for something, I want to pay you back. You made my khidmah, what can I do for you? So he said, I ask for your companionship in Jannah. I ask for your companionship in Jannah. That's a unique question. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ask for something else. Because that's something hard. Like, I'm asking you, like, he said, ask for something else. He said, Huwa dhaka. I don't want anything else. I want that.
So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now gives him an answer. He said, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. That I need you to help me for this one. I need you to help. If you want to be my companion, I'll make the dua, but I need you to help me in this one. بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. What a lot of sajda. Lot of sajda means lot of salah. But when he never mentioned Lord Salah, he mentioned especially the sajda. It is that sajda and that sajda and that sajda after every rakat. He said, you need to help me in this one. فَأَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. So Shah Wallah Rahimullah says, why? Why was sajda going to be needed to get you to where you have to go? He says, because there is something called animalism in our body. Because we are made of animal traits and we are made of angelic traits. And that is man, the mixture of both. I can be as good as the angels, I can be as bad as the devil. He says when man falls in sajda, it is that time where his angelic traits are able to separate from his animal traits. It is in sajda that it all happens. The closest man can get to his Rabb, وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. When man falls in that position, that separation starts. It is in sajda that you shouldn't ever think of sin. That position doesn't allow it. That position wants you to cry. But what happened over the years, people stopped making Lord sajda. The sajdas became very fast. As though the devil never wanted us to enjoy separation of the nature of an angel that it comes out. That is why people's du'as was, Allah, let me die in sajda. Let me die in sajda. A man who worshipped Almighty Allah for 500 years, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came now to say to him, it's time to go, what do you want? He said, can I pass away in sajda? And I remain in that state till the day Allah resurrected me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah gave it to him. He said, Jibreel alayhi salam says, we pass that man when we come to bring you wahi. And we find him still in the state of sajda. He said, can I pass away in the state of sajda? It's the time when it separates. He says, he told that sahabi, you want to be my companion, you'll have to help me in this one. فَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. He says, that's when the separation takes place. Me and you should make that sajda. In that sajda, make some dhikr, any dhikr, du'as, but learn to start making. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the third thing Shah Waliullah mentioned, one was the completion of abdiyat. My total slavery to Allah shows in a sajda. Let me not rush it. Number two, it is the time when angelic quality gets the chance to separate from the animal quality. The animal quality stays up. And now it is only angel. Only angel. And the third, it says the third is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ummati yawm al-qiyamah, ghurrum min al-sujood, muhajjaloon min al-wuhu. That on the day of Qiyamah, my nation will shine. He said, one is their limbs will shine where they made wudu. The head, the hands, the feet. He said, so do me a favor, rub nicely, you'll shine more. But then he said, one other, the forehead will shine because of sajda. There will be a unique shine from this forehead. When you put your head down in the ground, remember this thing. He's already shining. You will only see the shine in the yard. So here he writes that we have already discussed, and he discussed it in detail, that whatever reward is going to be given in Jannah is not a reward actually. It's another look of what it is in this world. So he says, when it is mentioned that people on the day of Qiyamah will shine here, it means the shine already started here. It is only that the world can't see the shine here. Otherwise, Everyone will make sajda. But the shine has started here, so it's not a reward there. That is how it's supposed to look here. Except that this world covered. So this shine starts when? As soon as the head touches the ground. Something comes from the ground which starts making this thing shine. If this thing shines, it affects the closest part to it, that is the brain. It affects the closest part, that is the eye. It affects the closest part, that is the ears. After that day, it starts going down the body. The shine starts. Where the shine started? From the earth. As though you started pulling in. He said, while you are in sajda, understand you are under a torrent of unique mercy of Almighty Allah. That's now going through the entire body. And maybe that's one reason why that dua was, خَشَعَ سَمْعِي وَبَصَرِي وَمُخِّي. My brains have now submitted. My eyes have submitted. My ears have submitted. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a servant starts making more and more salah, he reaches a time where Allah tabarakallah announces, now I have become your eyes. Now I have become your eyes with which you see. I have become your ears with which you hear. Sometimes it all happens in that sajda. That your body just pulls, pulls, pulls. So much of the mercy of Allah as it falls. That it hits ear first. And from ear it starts moving through the entire body. So when you go in that sajda, you must try and feel it. They call it current. So normally if you got something and you say, can I feel the current? You say, this is dead. Then you say, no, it's moving. Soon as current comes, lights go on. Say, we got power. So this end point of ours is, our power maybe is being a sajda. But sometimes we go so fast in the sajda that we don't get the chance to power. Go, come up again. Go again. A time in life must come that you must be so long in sajda that your wife must wake up and think you died. Then she must shake you. Then you must say, I fulfill the sunnah. But that can only happen, number one, if you're making. And number two, you leave an alarm clock that wakes her up to check up where are you. Otherwise, she'll sleep right through that. She'll sleep right through. Aisha Radhan woke up. Where is my husband? So I really thought he was gone. Just in such time. So long in such time. So long in such time. May Allah tabarakala make it. Salah is what is called our relationship with Allah. People in the past, how they read that salah. May Allah tabarakala make it. Me and you can also start. To get that feeling of salah and the feeling of Quran in that salah. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.